Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
As I reflect on 2024, I'm overwhelmed with two things, with awe and with gratitude for everything that God has done through us as a church this year. I'm in awe of how God has moved powerfully among us, bringing new opportunities, bringing new growth, and bringing new ministry. And I'm deeply thankful for every person who has partnered with us to make this year so impactful. Each one of you, as a part of our Hillside family, has contributed in unique and meaningful ways. And for that, I am truly grateful. This year has been filled with exciting milestones and new initiatives. In July, we hosted our very first Vacation Bible School, VBS. And what a success it was. Marianne and her amazing team led over 40 children, supported by countless youth and adult volunteers, through what was an unforgettably wild week. August brought our back-to-school giveaway, which began as a clothing drive but quickly grew into an extraordinary event where we provided school supplies and clothing to over 150 children in our community. And that was through your generosity and your willingness to give, to serve, and to pray to make that happen. And then in December, we were able to bless 49 families and 110 children with free Christmas gifts through our Give Christmas gift giveaway. Your generosity helped us raise over $4,500 to purchase personal Christmas gifts for these children. We continued our commitment to serving those in need, including our ongoing partnerships with Main Springs Pregnancy Care Center, formerly known as the Airdrie Pregnancy Care Center. This year, we hosted a welcome home drive back in March where we raised several hundred dollars worth of baby supplies. And we also participated in the baby bottle campaign in May and June. And through our donation box, we were also able to provide additional items to support the work. We were able to help several people in crisis cover urgent expenses through our benevolence fund, totaling well over $4,000. We supported the RJ Hockey Elementary School breakfast program with a $500 donation to ensure school children in our community start their day off with a nutritious meal. Building relationships and creating opportunities for connection remained a priority this year. Our family dinners and summer connects, which included fun new activities like bingo and disc golf, strengthened our bond as a church family. We hosted Ross Breichreitz for 7 Mile Story and welcomed Dr. Philip Payne for a thought-provoking evening on women in ministry. We also had the privilege of connecting with our Foursquare missionaries, John and Levi Kelly. Our Christmas celebrations were truly special. We had our largest Hillside family Christmas dinner featuring a heartwarming concert with our Hillside kids and youth. We had our first ever seniors Christmas banquet, and we had 3 Christmas Eve services that welcomed over 250 attendees. We launched a new ministry initiative called Crafts or Games for Everyone at the Airdrie Care Home Community Assisted Living Center, offering a fresh way to minister to our community. On Halloween, we hosted an outreach event where we gave away candy, hot chocolate, and provided a free hayride, bringing joy and connection to our community. This year saw the growth and establishment of several ministries. Small groups continued to foster deeper connections and spiritual growth. We launched our heart-to-heart women's ministries, men's breakfast, uncomplicated marriage nights, and gym nights, all providing opportunities for fellowship and encouragement. We were also blessed to bring on some new staff members onto our team. Monica McMitchell joined us as our financial administrator, and Ryan and Evie Buchanan stepped into the role of our church custodians. Their contributions have been invaluable, and we're so thankful for their hard work and commitment, and we're going to have some announcements over the next couple of weeks about some other positions that we're looking to add to our team. But our collective efforts this year have made a profound impact. This year we celebrated 17 salvations or recommitments to Jesus. That's a good place to clap. We had 12 water baptisms. We have welcomed 11 new members to Hillside Church. We continued to our financial support of the Obami Obatcha Center in South Africa. And we strengthened our partnerships with other churches and organizations, including Grace Soccer, Al-Anon, the Alberta Parkinson's Association, and CNIB. As Hillside Church continues to grow, I'm so very proud of how we've used this growth to shine brighter into our community, making Airdrie a better place. We've talked endlessly about how we want Airdrie to be better because Hillside Church is here. The book of Jeremiah will tell us to pray for the prosperity of your city. And as our church has grown, we haven't just used all of our additional resources and people to be focused on us, to be focused on making Hillside Church great. But what we've been able to do is we've been able to increasingly turn our focus outward and spend time and spend resources ministering and giving to our city. And for that, I am so, so proud. Hillside Church, you are an incredible church family. And I'm humbled and honored and deeply thankful to be your pastor. This week, if you'd like to follow along in Scripture, you can join me in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. At this point in the story of Jesus' life, Jesus, he's... on a mountain, and people are gathering around Jesus. He's starting to attract crowds, and people are coming to listen to Jesus. And it all comes to this moment where this crowd is gathered on the side of what they would call a mountain. Now, for us, we wouldn't call it a mountain. That if you were to travel to Israel and you were to look and see what they call mountains, you would probably feel a little underwhelmed. Because we know what mountains are. Their mountains are not our mountains. We would go, that's a hill. But they call it a mountain. And so Jesus is on the side of a mountain, and he begins to preach this sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount. That's why it's called that. Jesus begins to preach. He begins to share. He begins to speak to this crowd that's gathered to listen to hear him talk. And he does so on the side of what they would call a mountain. And it's this long and winding message that Jesus preaches. It covers all kinds of topics. It's found in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. Three chapters of Jesus preaching. And this for the next while, we're going to take on something pretty expansive. We're going to do our largest sermon series that we've ever done. We've never done one this long before. But we are going to spend the next 10 weeks going through this sermon that Jesus preaches. I am going to spend the next week preaching on preaching. I'm going to be sermoning on a sermon. Sermonception, if you will. We're going to go from now, the first Sunday of the year, almost all the way to Easter, looking at these three chapters that Jesus is preaching. And through it all, we're going to see some remarkable teachings that are going to encourage us to be sure. We're going to come across some passages in Scripture that you may be very familiar with, even if you don't go to church, even if this is your first Sunday in church, or if it's your first Sunday in church in a long while. There will be some passages that we're going to look at that you're going to say, "I've heard that before." I don't know where I heard it before, but I've heard that before. And so we're going to cover these passages that are going to encourage us. They're going to be familiar with us. But friends, more than anything, they're going to challenge us. That for the next 10 weeks, we are going to be challenged by the word of Jesus. As he speaks and he shares, it's going to challenge us and our understanding of who we are and how we understand our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus, and our relationship with other people. Now, the Sermon on the Mount begins with something that we call the Beatitudes. There's 8 or 9 of these things that we call the Beatitudes. Depending on how you count them is why there's 8 or 9. The Beatitudes are called the Beatitudes because of the Latin word beatitudo. Beatitudo. Yeah, that's right. Which means blessedness. That's the name that was given to these verses. Originally in Latin, this section was called Beatitudo, which means blessedness, which we translate into halfway, sort of transliterate into the Beatitudes. And in the beginning, with these Beatitudes, Jesus is beginning to give us, or beginning with a picture for us of what it does it mean to be a follower of Jesus. What does it mean for us to look the way that God wants his followers to look? On the inside. This isn't some kind of external, you must be at least 4 feet tall to ride this ride, kind of what does it mean to look like a follower of Jesus. But Jesus is challenging us and calling us to say, this is what the heart of a follower of Jesus looks like. To be the kind of people that God would look at and say, these kinds of people, those are my people. The kind of people that God would say, you're my kind of person. That's what Jesus begins with these Beatitudes. And each one of these Beatitudes, it begins with this word blessed. But we need to unpack this word for a moment, because we need to try and understand as best we can what Jesus is saying here. Because as we look to understand who it is that Jesus is going to talk about, it's going to seem very upside down to us. It's going to seem very backwards to us. It's going to seem very unblessed to us. We might be more inclined to believe or want to hear or to accept that for us in our culture and in our understanding of the world, blessed are those who have the ability to take care of themselves. Blessed are those who don't need anyone. Blessed are those who are confident. Blessed are those who are hungry in life for success. And extra blessed are those who have found it. Blessed are those who are comfortable. Blessed are the rich, the powerful, the influencers, the celebrities. That as we look at our lives and we say, what does it mean to be blessed? We can fall into the thinking that to be blessed means that everything is good. That to be blessed means everything is right. To be blessed means I'm comfortable. To be blessed means I'm successful. To be blessed means that everything must be just the way it is. But what we're going to see is that when Jesus uses the word blessed, that's not what he means. This word is actually quite tricky to translate and to define, because it doesn't really have an English equivalent to it that captures the heart of what Jesus is saying. And so we try and bring this word to English and we look and we would translate it to maybe words like happy. But that doesn't really work, because happy is too much of an emotion or a momentary feeling. On Christmas morning, when it becomes your turn to open a present, and you're happy because it's finally your turn again, and you get the gift and you go to open it and you're happy, and then it's underwear and socks. And you're not quite as happy as you were. That happiness is influenced by the things going on around us. That we're happy because we're in a place that makes us happy. And we're not happy because we're not in a place that makes us happy. But this word, blessed, that we're talking about here, it's not so temporary. But it's more of like an inside state of being, which really isn't what happiness means to us. Another word that you could translate this as would be like fortunate. But fortunate doesn't really work because that would imply that, or at least for our understanding, it would be, it's kind of like lucky. Like, oh, you're fortunate to be there. Look what happened in your life. Turns out you're just lucky to be there. But that's not really it. And of course, this word is complicated because no matter which word you want to use, blessed, happy, or fortunate, none of us would look at the people that Jesus is going to tell us are blessed, are happy, are fortunate. None of us would look at them and say, oh, those are happy people. Those are blessed people. Those are people we should call themselves blessed. Those are people who should be happy. Those are people that we would call fortunate. But what we're going to discover is that it's not the places that these people find themselves. It's not the circumstances that makes them blessed. But instead, because where they find themselves opens up a door for God to work in their lives. And that's why they would be blessed. That where they're not blessed because of where they find themselves in and of itself. They're blessed because they're in a place that opens the door for God to work in their lives. These Beatitudes outline a heart that is blessed because it's a heart that's in the right place for God to work. They call us to look inside and to look at our own hearts and lives and see where maybe I have room to grow. Do I see myself as blessed in times where my life looks like this? But they don't just call us to look in. Each one of these places where God calls us to look at our own lives also has a place where we're called to look out. That we're called to look in at ourselves, but then we're called to look out and to look at Jesus. We're called to look in and see what is my heart like? And then we're called to look out and say, why do I want my heart to be like that? That Jesus will say, this is what your heart needs to look like. But then he'll say, but this is why your heart needs to look like that. Each heart place is accompanied by a promise that helps us to understand why God wants us to live from these seemingly upside down places. And so let's look at these Beatitudes. They begin like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, for Jesus' listeners, and maybe for us today, if you're not familiar with the Beatitudes, you might say, that's a strange place to start. That's attention grabbing. That's a hook. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And you may be saying to yourself, Brad, you weren't kidding. How does this make sense? How does it make sense to say, blessed are the poor in spirit? But what Jesus is showing us here is that we're blessed when we have a spirit that knows that it's in need. The word poor really means someone who knows that they are dependent on someone else. Someone who needs someone else to take care of them. The poor in spirit. Blessed are they? Fortunate are they? Happy are they? How is that true? Because it's these people who recognize that they need someone to come and help them, that they need a savior. People who recognize that in their own spirit, they're bankrupt and they're poor. These are people who are most open to receiving Jesus' work in their lives because they know they need it. That we can find in ourselves and in our lives and in our circumstances the ability to not feel like I need to be poor in spirit. That I can provide for myself, I can take care of myself. I don't really need anyone. But Jesus will say, blessed are you when your spirit is humble and it comes from a place where we would say, I need someone. And so blessed are the poor in spirit. We look in. But why is it true that we're blessed when we're poor in spirit? Why is it true that we're blessed when we come to a place where we say, I need help? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor who recognize our need. They will be given the kingdom. When we recognize that we don't have enough, we will be given more than we could ever desire or want. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a generous God, the one who is our provider. And so when we come to him knowing that we are in need, God meets us in our need and provides us more than we ever knew that we needed or wanted. Because our spirit is poor, we come to God saying, I don't have it all together. God, I need you. And God says, I have more than you could ever need. Because we are poor and he is generous. Next, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. This is a challenging one. Because mourn has a very specific context when we use that word. When we say, I'm in a time of mourning or I'm mourning, we immediately connect that to the passing of a loved one. That someone has died, they've passed away. Blessed are those who mourn. When I was doing reading on this, one person I read translated it like this. Happy are the unhappy. How does this work? How are we blessed when we mourn? Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to understand that Jesus isn't specifically and only directly speaking to mourning the passing of a loved one. That he's not specifically and only speaking to those things. That this isn't speaking to a specific kind of mourning, but he's speaking to more of a heart place. What I think Jesus is showing us is that when we mourn, we are a people who are looking for, we are people who acknowledge that we need hope, that we need hope in our lives. We need justice. We need mercy. People who are mourning are people who have come to a place where they know that something is missing. Something is wrong in their lives. They mourn sin because it's brokenness, and they mourn brokenness because it's wrong. Blessed are those who look and see things and see that they're not the way that they should be. Whether it's the passing of a loved one, sin, brokenness, whatever it may be. Blessed are us when we look at the world around us, when we look at our lives and we see and we say, things aren't the way they should be. Blessed are we when we mourn because we will be comforted. We look out knowing this isn't right. But we know that we will be comforted. That there will come a day that it will be made right. The book of Revelation shows us this when it puts it this way. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And friends, we can find comfort in this hope now with this promise of this day that's to come. When we mourn for our sin, for our brokenness, for our world, and even for those who have passed away. All that is wrong in this world, all that is wrong in this life, all that is wrong within me, one day will be made right. And we can be comforted. Next, blessed are the meek. Now, meek is not a word we usually use as a compliment or a virtue. If you have a single friend, you don't go to them and say, girl, I got someone for you. He's so meek. It's not a word that we typically use as a good thing. In fact, it can be a word that we will sometimes see as negatives. That when our kids are meek, we might be like, we need them to like get more bold, get more confident, get more assertive. That we don't want meekness. It seems like a flaw. But yet Jesus will say, blessed are the meek. What I think Jesus is saying to us here is blessed are those who have a godly view of themselves. It's someone who doesn't think too highly on themselves, but instead they look at other people and see them highly. Meekness is not having low self-esteem. Meekness is not saying, I am trash. Meekness is not saying, I am invaluable. Meekness is not saying, I am worthless. You are created in the image of God. You have a worth that is far beyond anything and everything. Meekness is not having low self-esteem. But meekness is having an accurate understanding, a biblically accurate understanding of who we are, and a godly understanding of the people around us. Knowing that God has called us to, as Philippians 2 will put it, in humility, value others above yourself. Blessed are the meek. Why? For they will inherit the earth. Jesus doesn't say that those who inherit the earth will be the Caesars, the Neros, the heroes. He doesn't even say the hyper-religious, the Pharisees or the temple leaders. Not the seemingly important, the prominent, the influential, not those. But Jesus says the meek, that the ones who love others the way I have called them to, the ones who love other people above themselves, the ones who are willing to give of themselves for other people, blessed are those who in humility value others more than themselves. Blessed are the meek who love others the way God has called them to love. They will be given everything. That when we sacrificially love other people, Jesus says, you're going to inherit the whole earth. That if you give to other people, if you give of yourself, if you give of your life to other people, don't worry about what you're losing. I'll give you the whole world. Next, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Have you ever gone a day without eating? For some of us, we may be able to identify, have you ever gone a meal without eating? And you feel this sense of hunger that runs deeper than just, I'm hungry. That we're getting close to lunchtime. And for some of us, we may be like, oh, I'm starting to get a little hungry. How much more does it got to go? Where are we in this sermon? I'd like to get, I wonder if there's any of those spring rolls left. Maybe I'll just go to the bathroom and see if there's any cake left in the front room. That we can start to be hungry. But there's this other level of hunger that we can experience that's deeper than hungry. That growing sense of I need to eat something and I need to eat it now. And eventually your entire body and your mind and even your emotions are impacted. Anyone here ever been hangry? Where other people in your life look at you and go, man, just eat something. Just go, I can't deal with you right now. Just go have something to eat. Jesus says, blessed are those who have the same kind of feeling, but not for food, but for righteousness. Righteousness is this innate sense of not just what I think is right, that it's not just this idea that like, I want to be right. That's not righteous. Righteousness is this understanding that there is a right. And I want the world, I want things to be right. I don't want things to be right by Brad. I want this objective rightness. And this hunger for what is right, this hunger for justice, this hunger to be, to have things made right in our relationship with God and in our relationship with others. Blessed are those who deep down inside hunger, desire, want more than anything for things to be right, to be things the way they should be, that this is what they hunger for. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This morning we took time to remember the sacrifice of Jesus and how the sacrifice of Jesus not just covered over our sin, not just allowed God to turn a blind eye and not really look at it, but that through the sacrifice of Jesus, we were wiped, we were washed clean. that things were made right. The Jesus' cross and resurrection brings us a righteousness that we can't find on our own. It's a righteousness that's given to us. And so when we hunger and thirst for things to be made right, we will be filled because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Next, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful because they recognize who they are and because they see Jesus for who he is and who they are and what it is that Jesus has done for them. They are merciful because they know what it means to receive mercy. To truly understand what it means to be given mercy is when we understand the importance of showing others mercy. Friends, mercy experienced is mercy expressed. That how do we know when we truly understand that we have been given mercy? When our hearts become merciful. If we truly are to understand mercy, is to understand the need to express mercy. That if we can experience mercy and not be transformed by it, not be changed by it, not be willing to express mercy, then we haven't fully experienced mercy yet. Mercy experienced is mercy expressed. And so blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We receive mercy, and so we show mercy. And when we show mercy, we are promised more mercy. And so as we look in and choose to show mercy, we look out and find mercy for ourselves. The merciful are blessed because there are people who have experienced mercy. Next, blessed are the pure in heart. All throughout this sermon that Jesus gives, and throughout this series that we're going to be doing, we are going to find Jesus bringing us back to this place time again and again and again, where he's going to call us to take a deep look, not at our actions. Jesus is going to say, take your actions and put them to the side. Take how you live and put it to the side. That Jesus is going to say, I'm not concerned with how you're living. I'm not concerned with how you present yourself. I'm not concerned with how other people see you. I'm not concerned with whether or not when you go to church on Sunday, people look and go, oh, of course. They live like a Christian. Of course they go to church. Jesus is going to say, I want you to put all of that to the side. And we're going to look at our hearts. The core of who we are. The center of our lives. And so to be pure in heart is not just to have the right actions, but it's to have our actions, our cores, our hearts, our souls, our minds, our desires, and our will all in alignment with one another and all in submission to Jesus. And so when he says, blessed are the pure in heart, it's not blessed are those who act right, but it's blessed are those who, with everything they are, have it all in the right place in submission to Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. For this is a promise that when we put our lives in submission to Jesus, as we put our hearts and our thoughts and our minds and our souls and our strength and our bodies and our everything we are, and we hand it over to Jesus, what's going to be revealed to us is more and more of a picture of Jesus. And we're going to see Jesus more clearly and more clearly and more clearly. And we're going to be reminded of how much we need Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who, like Jesus, bring restoration, bring people together. Jesus reconciles us with God and with each other. And we are blessed when we look like him. When we are peacemakers, when we do our best to facilitate peace with other people, that when we do our best to bring peace. And notice, it doesn't say blessed are the peacekeepers. This isn't meant for us to just be people who stand at the back, who just choose to say, I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm not going to make any waves. but it's blessed are the peacemakers. It's those people who see the boat rocking, who see the waves and say, that's not what it should be. I'm going to make peace where there isn't peace now. See, Jesus has called us to some incredible things. Jesus has called us that when other people hurt us, we are to forgive them. Jesus has called us when other people steal from us, we're to give them our cloak and our shoes. Jesus will say, for the people who've hurt you, the people who've offended you, bless them, pray for them, that we are called to bring peace. Why are we called to bring peace? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. When we're willing to be a people that looks for peace in places that need restoration and work towards it and fight for it, we start to look like Jesus. We look like our Father. Perhaps you've been told you look just like your mom. You look just like your dad, whatever. My poor, poor daughter Heidi. People tell her all the time, oh, Heidi, you look just like your dad. That poor girl. I can't imagine a more devastating thing to tell a 12-year-old girl that she looks like this. When we fight for peace, when we do everything we can to bring peace to the world around us, people are going to look at you and say, you look just like your Father. You look just like your Heavenly Father. That's what God does. That looks like Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, because when we bring peace, people will look and see God in us. Next one, blessed are those, perhaps when making peace isn't an option. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Now notice, it doesn't say, blessed are those who are persecuted because you did something dumb. It doesn't say, blessed are those who are persecuted because you antagonized everyone around you. But blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted because they knew what was right. That they stood up for what was right. They did what was right. They stood for Jesus. And Jesus will bring it in and make it more personal. Blessed are you when people insult you, when people persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. When people do all of these things because they see Jesus in you, blessed are you. And it will say, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are you when people do these kinds of things to you, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we're persecuted, when people lie about us, when people slander us, when people treat us wrong, when things are harder because we're choosing to follow Jesus, because we're choosing to do what's right, when living for Jesus costs us something, we have the assurance that God sees what we've lost and he will return to us everything that has been taken. The book of Joel will tell us that God sees the years the locusts have eaten. He sees the things that have been taken from you. He sees the things that you've lost because you've chosen to follow him. And he promises that I will return to you everything that's been taken from you. Blessed are you when you're persecuted, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you lose things for doing what's right, because the entire kingdom of heaven will fill in the gaps. These are the kinds of people that Jesus will say, these people are blessed. These are my kind of people that Jesus will say, do you want to know what it means to be a follower of Jesus? This is what it means. Do you want to know what it means to be my people? This is what it means. If we want to be his people, we need to evaluate our hearts. We need to look in the mirror, and we need to look to him. And we need to ask ourselves the question, do I know how much I really, truly, honestly need Jesus? These Beatitudes, they pull things up. They expose parts of our hearts that maybe we haven't looked at. Maybe we've never saw before. Maybe we've never thought of them as positives in life. So many of these things, they're actually things that we run away from, that we're taught you're not supposed to want, that you're supposed to do everything you can to not be poor in spirit, to not be meek, to not make peace, to not be insulted, to not show mercy. That so many of these things in our lives, we've ran away from them because we don't realize this is what God is looking for. These Beatitudes, they hold them up and they ask us to look at them and at ourselves. And we're forced to come away with just one conclusion: just how much we need Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that we're not blessed because we're not only blessed when things are great. That we're not a blessed people because we're always successful. That we're not a blessed people because nothing ever goes wrong. That we're not a blessed people because everything is just perfect all the time. God, I thank you that we're not blessed that way because that's not who we are. That we know in life things will not always be the way they should be. That we know in life that we are not always going to just be successful, be perfect, and have everything in its place and a place for everything. But God, I thank you that as we look at what it means to be blessed in you, God, we find a different understanding of blessing. And so, God, I pray for each one of those here today, God, who wants to know what it is to be a follower of Jesus. And God, I pray that you would just begin to show us in our lives what it means to follow Jesus in the good and in the difficult. That what it means to find you when we're mourning. To find you when we're having to fight for peace in chaos. To find you when we're poor in spirit. To find you when we're persecuted and insulted and mistreated. To find you in all aspects of life. And God, I thank you that you tell us that we are your people when we look for you in the lowest of lows and the highest of highs. And so God, I pray for each one here today. God, wherever we find ourselves right now, God, for each individual who's here, who's watching on home, for each one here, God, where they are right now in their lives, God, would you show yourself to them? Would they find you right now? Your word will tell us that when we seek for you, we will find you. God, today, now, in our lives, God, would you show us your presence? God, I thank you that we are a blessed people, because we are a people who need you. And I thank you that we are a blessed people, because in our moment of need, in our moment of weakness, in our moments where we need you, God, I thank you that you extend to us the invitation to come. That in our moments of weakness, in our moments of doubt, of fear, of worry, of pain, God, you don't say, come to me when everything's better. But God, I thank you that you say, when you're weak, when you're tired, when you're exhausted, when you're afraid, when you're fearful, when everything is going wrong, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy burdened. Come to me, and I will give you rest. God, I thank you that we find the blessing of the presence of God in our lives. God, show us your presence. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You don't need a savior if you don't know.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting our church in the main menu, then our leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power together. As family, we go.
In Jesus, yes, he is my everything. Thank you, Lord. I have a shepherd who always keeps me safe. And I found a healer, yes, I did, who knows my every pain. And this is my story of redeeming love. I have come to know him well. Oh, I have found a friend in Jesus. He is everything to me. And I have found a friend in Jesus. Yes, he is my everything. Oh, I have found a friend in Jesus. He is everything to me. I have found a friend in Jesus. Yes, he is my everything.
He walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. The joy we share, what else compares? It's like nothing I've ever known.